Welcome to Inside Ag from Kansas Farm Bureau, the voice of agriculture. I'm Shelby Varner. September is Bee Appreciation Month, and we wanted to celebrate the bees and all that they do. And to talk about their experience with bees and share some of their knowledge is First Vice President of the Kansas Honey Producers, Greg Swab. Greg, thank you so much for taking the time to join us today.
My pleasure.
To get us started, Greg, can you share a little bit about your experience with bees and how you got started?
It goes back quite a few years. I think about 1972 or 73. For example, my parents always loved to go to the state fair. And one time, one fall, and it was 72 or 73, Dad spent an inordinate amount of time visiting with somebody at the Kansas Honey Producers Association booth. And that resulted in about a dozen beehives being brought to our farm the next spring by the gentleman he was visiting with. So we thought, man, Dad's sure talking to that guy a long time. Of course, we were busy, my brother and I, looking at the observation hive that the booth always has and just kind of enjoying watching the bees do their thing. And then the following March or April, I believe it was, a dozen beehives showed up and the rest is kind of history. He kept bees at our farm for about 4 years after that. And then my brother was taking some courses at Kansas State University, getting an agronomy degree, and he ended up building some beehives as one of the shop projects that they happened to have. And now the rest is history. So that was about 1978 when we started keeping bees of our own.
A lot of experience over many years. You mentioned how your dad got started and you've helped many people get started. What does that process look like? And what is your few recommendations for those people who want to get started?
A lot of people have the spirit and they want to jump right into beekeeping, and we always encourage them. And I said, we, our whole industry, is do some research first. You know, make sure that maybe you're not allergic to a bee sting. It might not be a bad idea to visit with somebody or work with somebody. And I've encouraged a few people, maybe take that sting just to see how you react, and hopefully you don't react at all. But mainly is research. A lot of folks will want to get exuberant. They want to jump right into something. And next thing you know, they've not done their background and they get frustrated right away. Things are maybe not going as they should. They don't know which way to turn and so on. And it gets kind of frustrating. So we encourage people study, research, borrow books from the library, buy books, check out. There's a lot of things on YouTube. And unfortunately, there are a lot of information on YouTube is a little bit jaded in that you have to remember where that YouTube star happens to be. If they're in Florida or Georgia, the weather and the environment is completely different there than Kansas. So we try to make sure that they're visiting with people more local, I guess, to their region. Try to find a mentor at the Kansas Honey Producer Association. If someone is interested in keeping bees and they say they're from Hutchinson, well, we have quite a few beekeepers in that area, and maybe we can connect them with somebody who would help mentor them and bring them along from the beginning through the whole process and make it a lot less painful.
You mentioned how the environment impacts bees. Can you talk a little bit about that?
This was a pretty good year to say the extreme. I'm in Hays, Kansas, and if you drew a line down the middle of the state as the USDA did this year, and they had their drought map. So from basically Russell, Kansas on west, we were either in a mild drought, a moderate drought, or severe drought, extreme drought. And it was very tough in our particular region with rainfall being quite spotty. And it's not so much the bees need water, they do, but it's the flowers need water. If things are dry, then the flowers are not going to produce much nectar because they don't have a lot of resources to share, which means the honey crop would be quite reduced. So this was an extreme year as far as dry weather. 2019, we had rain nonstop all spring long, and that got things growing so well throughout the rest of the season. And we had a decent honey crop that particular year. So it's very, very dependent upon the weather.
As most things in agriculture are.
Absolutely.
What part do those bees play in production agriculture?
In the state of California, for example, about 80% of the almonds are grown in California of the world. So there's a major producer of almonds, yet almond trees are not self-pollinating. So about 2 million beehives are transported into the state of California about mid-February, early February for a six-week pollination period. That alone is one of the largest pollinating maneuver on earth, as you might think. That's a lot of beehives to be trucking around. And then the bees maybe get moved off to up the coast, maybe for blackberries, blueberries, and other pollinating that happens. So without bees, if I'm an almond grower, for example, I won't have a crop. I have to have honeybees, two hives per acre of trees to help me produce a crop, along with good, adequate rainfall and so forth.
They do the pollination, as you mentioned, but what products have you seen made from the hive?
Well, honeybees are the only insect that actually produces food directly for mankind. So we all think of honey, of course, and that's kind of the secondary thing, pollination being the first. But for example, various churches, the Catholic Church in particular, they require a certain minimum percentage of their candles to be beeswax. That way they burn very cleanly. There's no soot given off, and they're just a quality, long-burning candle. Gosh, years ago, we had a product called Snow Seal, and it came in a little can. And basically, it was beeswax, and you would warm it up and smear it on your boots to waterproof them. And carpenters, I know a lot of old-time carpenters, they'll have a hole drilled in the end of their hammer handle, and they'll insert beeswax. So if they're driving a nail by hand into some really hard, brittle wood, they'll lubricate the point of that nail and helps them drive the nail in better. People who do black powder shooting will use beeswax to lubricate their ball and their wads as they're loading their guns to shoot. Those two products alone are quite a few things. There's another product that the bees make. It's called propolis. And years ago, I just thought of propolis as being a glue. They tend to glue everything down. But what propolis really is, that's an antibiotic, if you will. That takes care of a lot of germs and does a lot of health prevention for the bees, preventative health care. So there are some companies that will take propolis and use it in makeup and other medicines. There are some companies that will infuse honey into bandages. So the severe burn victims and severe wounds, these bandages are used to help increase the healing process.
Out of those, which is your favorite, or which one do you find most interesting?
Oh, golly. Of course, honey. I'm mainly a honey producer. My brother, for example, he makes some things out of wax, like lip balms and some other things on that order. And I need to expand into that sort of thing. So I'm thinking the lip balm is probably a very, very popular product with people made out of natural beeswax.
Bees obviously do a lot and produce a lot for humans and for crops. But what is the biggest danger to bees? What problems are they facing?
Oh, they're facing quite a few problems. There's no one smoking gun that caused an issue called the bee decline of 2006, 2007. Colony collapse disorder, where people would go out and check their bees today and everything looks good. Then they open up a hive 2 or 3 weeks from now and suddenly there's only a handful of bees in there. There's honey in there. The queen is roaming around not being attended to. And nobody really had an answer for that. But we think there's such a variety of things that all added up to that. And they're common problems with honeybees. For example, diet. You know, we don't farm like we did 50, 60 years ago, where we have small fields, small patches, if you will, of alfalfa, soybeans, and other crops. We farm in large tracts of crops. And a lot of what we grow in Kansas is just not beneficial to the bees. Wheat, grain sorghum, corn are some very common crops that we grow here, obviously. And bees don't benefit from those. But they do benefit from alfalfa if it's allowed to go to full bloom, like for producing seed, for example. Sweet clover, which is a weed, if you will, is a very common source of honey also. That's not necessarily an agricultural product because it's more of an invasive species. So we beekeepers would love to see those yellow flowers left alone, where the Department of Ag says, you know, it's invading your fields and your pastures. You really should control that, Mr. Producer. So we got little battle going on there, you might say. We're kind of the bee's own worst enemy because, again, we don't farm as we used to, and all the pesticides that we use are not helping the bee scenario one bit. So a lot of things can factor in.
For those who are wanting to support the bees, what are some different things that they can do?
One great thing you can do is plant some pollinator-friendly plantings. There are a lot of companies in Kansas. Faya Seeds, I think if I pronounce that correctly, out of Alma, Kansas. There's Star Seed up in Osborne. Healy, Kansas, I'm forgetting the name of the seed company now, but they all have a lot of pollinator-friendly plantings. And that would be probably one of the best things a person could do to help even the native bees. for example, we'll skip from honeybees to the native bees like bumblebees. A native bee is usually a large, massive bumblebee type creature. That's what you need to pollinate your tomatoes. A honeybee, just not massive enough to shake the pollen loose from tomato plants because their pollen is very heavy and very sticky. So we need those wild bees, if you want to use that term, and there are thousands of species around. So we want to plant things that will benefit them also, because they all factor into the ecosystem to help us out.
Greg, you obviously have this wealth of knowledge that you're willing to share with other people. What are some things that you wish people knew about bees?
Oh, don't be afraid of being stung, for example. You should, obviously, if you are allergic to the bee venom, but enjoy those bees. Watch them on the flowers. They're fun to watch around how busy they are. When they're busy pollinating a flower or gathering nectar from a flower, they could care less about you unless you bother them. They're just busy doing their job. So we want people to not fear them, but respect them and embrace them, if you will.
So going with the theory of you don't mess with them, they won't mess with you?
Pretty much, yeah. Now, maybe if you get too close to their hive, they may be, some hives are a little bit more defensive than others. Some are a lot more tame. It's just, as we always say, that they have their own personality.
Also from that wealth of knowledge, what are some fun facts that you just want to share with people?
Bees are so important for our ecosystem. Obviously, about $20 billion worth of pollination for farm crops. Again, not wheat, corn, and such, but soybeans, they do help increase the harvest of soybeans. And again, almonds, as we mentioned earlier, they are the main source of pollinating almonds so that the almond producers in California could raise a good crop. Yeah, that's the thing, is they do so much good as far as helping pollinate our crops, such as apples and squash and pumpkins and all the cucurbit plants out there. Without honeybees, we probably wouldn't have near as many in the grocery stores as we do.
That is some interesting information. For people who are wanting to find more information, where can they go?
Yeah, Kansas Honey Producers is www.kansashoneyproducers.org. There's a wealth of information out there. For example, we have an annual conference, or biannual conference, I should say, coming up in Salina, November 4th and 5th. Actual timeline agenda is not out there yet, but it will be soon. But we have a lineup of various speakers and topics that they'll be speaking upon. Of course, you can contact us, say, oh, I have a tree that has some bees in it. Can anybody help me remove them or remove them for me? So just identify where you are. Say you're in Ottawa, Kansas, and can someone help me? And if they send that to our contact us on the website, we will get someone their direction.
That is fantastic news. September is Bee Appreciation Month. September is not over. However, we probably should always celebrate the bees, as they do so much for the people and the agricultural industry. Thank you, Greg, so much for coming on and sharing your knowledge and experience of bees with us.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
That was the first vice president of the Kansas Honey Producers, Greg Swab. If you're interested in finding out more information about bees and what's happening in Kansas, you can go to www.kansashoneyproducers.org. I'm Shelby Varner, and this has been Inside Ag from Kansas Farm Bureau, the voice of agriculture.